This is professional radio, gentlemen.
And it's front wheel drive.
Scotty, have you got anyone you want to thank?
Just myself.
And now we do the after hours.
Gentlemen, what would you go for?
Thanks to your sin, dude.
Okay, and because it's not a supercar.
But it is.
It's not.
Automotive perfection comes in the form of two letters, A and U.
Long live my LTD.
Welcome to Car Talk. It's Tuesday night here on 98.9 Northwest FM. You're with Matty J, that's me, Scotty Doe Johnson online, Mr. David Thomas the Tank Prince. We've got
Jizzy James. No, I can't be Jizzy until Rizzy comes.
Yeah, that's right. It's true.
Right now I'm just James. When Riz comes, then I'll concede. But until then, I'm just James.
Actually, I've got to start the names again because I screwed up already. So Scotty Snitches Johnson, David Thomas the Tank Prince, Dr. Alan Beep. Alan Beep.
Or as Edward says, Singe.
Are these prison nicknames? I don't know.
We're missing Dr. Ed Bunting.
What have you guys been doing when I haven't been here?
You're listening to the podcast and find out.
Yes. And of course, the docile tones of one Mr. James Josipovic. Is that how to say it properly?
Josipovic is the correct pronunciation. But I just say Josipovic for like the Aussie like white boy. The anglicized. It's the anglicized pronunciation.
You're the reason why, like one of my teachers at school called me Alan Depp.
your name's easy though.
There are two E's there, and she called me Alan Depp the entire year. I did not bother to correct her.
You've got a
if you've already failed at this, you know.
You've got a brown name, but it's an easy brown
name. It is an easy brown name. Like I said, a Mazda dealer turned into Alan Beep.
So hence the reason why he's now known as Alan Beep. Yeah. But how are you, gentlemen?
Well, recovering.
Yeah, doing quite well since the weekend.
Yes, we'll get to that.
You worked on my tan, as you can see.
I can see. You've definitely tanned.
I'm getting browner by the day. that MX-5 being topless.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just lucky, like I said, I'm sunburned.
You just tan.
Yeah, I just tan.
Yeah. I'll take it. You're very lucky.
Now, James, I don't know if you remember, you were part of our first ever show. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's good to have you back because we'll start with you because obviously...
No, I want to know the James story.
Well, James had a 323, a BJ Series 323, Series 1, 1.6 automatic, known as the Maserati.
Maserati, nice.
And it has been retired.
I call it was emerald because it was, but you know, it was green, it was Mazda green, whatever. But I called it emerald. Not emerald anymore. It's because it's all rusty.
you've officially put it out finally, the pasture.
Yeah, finally upgraded.
And your car came in on Monday.
Yes, I just picked it up yesterday.
Oh, brilliant!
Congratulations. So you bought a brand new
Subaru Impreza S. Was it S? Oh God, I don't even know what it's called. It's the S model Impreza, which is the
top
end Impreza. 2021. Okay. Model, yeah.
Nice.
So
sunroof and leather and those sorts of things.
Nice. Yeah, it's got all the front camera, rear camera, side camera, sunroof, which I didn't even want, but it comes with the S model.
Yeah,
and yeah, everything. I just wanted everything because I'm planning to keep it for a while.
Excellent.
Yeah, and listeners might remember because I used to be on a long time ago. That I always wanted a WRX. So, but I thought for my first real new car, I didn't want to spend all that money. I'm not made out of money. I started the Impreza and then I might upgrade later.
The WRX.
Yeah, to the Rexy.
Rexy.
Yeah.
So how are you finding your first 24 hours as a Subaru owner?
Oh, it's so nice.
Have you ripped your fat vape yet?
Vape mesh.
He's got the S model, so it already comes with one.
Yeah. It's installed.
It doesn't have the cigarette lighter. It's got the
vape charger.
Vape charger.
USB. Yeah, that's what the guy was showing me, all the bits of the car. It's like, yeah, there's your vape charger. He opens the console, there's your second vape charger. What are they called? Jewels? Those little...
Yeah, that's one of the brands, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Just on the guy showing you the car, how was the delivery experience? We were talking about that a few shows ago.
I'd say it was very good.
Okay.
I didn't have any real problems or like shady car salesman vibes or anything like that. Everyone who helped me was very helpful. I got the Essendon Subaru dealership. Everyone was, yeah.
So the person that showed you through the car, was that the person you bought the car from?
No. So what happened was,
okay,
I bought the car in June, I think.
Yeah.
So, and I ordered it, and they said delivery was expected in October, which I knew probably was going to be delayed because of the pandemic and whatever. And then I think in October it hadn't come, obviously, and we were in lockdown at that stage. So I emailed the guy who sold me the car. And I'm like, do you have an update? And he was like, I can't remember exactly the timeline. But he was like, no, it's going to be in November. I'm like, okay. And then November rolled around. And I was like, okay, it's still not here. And I emailed again. And he had left the dealership. And so I emailed someone else who I'd also spoken to previously. And they had left as well.
Oh,
and so,
gosh.
Like everyone I had spoken to throughout like the 6 months or whatever had all left the company, and eventually I got to the right person. Yeah, so the person when I got there on the day, it was like completely different stuff.
Completely different. Yeah. Well, Subaru usually deliver the cars by a delivery consultant rather than the salesperson. Once the salesperson's done the deal and got the deposit and all that sort of thing. It's see you later, and the next thing is that the delivery consultant actually takes you through the car and hands it over and stuff, which is an interesting technique, and it's frustrating for me. I think I've said on that before, because if there's, especially with used cars, if there's anything that needs to be done, they never seem to enter what they want done onto the paperwork. They'll say repair trim or something like that, so then you've got to actually try and it's always, they're always on a day off, or they're always, you know, have left the dealership or something. And so sometimes it can take ages. But
I was starting to get worried that they were going to be like, what car?
Yeah, that's right. Who are you? Yeah. I know, at least it was in the system. That's good. But no, that's good. If the experience, you know, from even with those hiccups was good, that's exactly what you want, especially when you're forking out that money on a new car.
Yeah, especially it was like my first time buying a new car. So I was... Yep. Talking to Matt and talking to Riz about and talking to Alan, I'm like, what do I do? What do I look for? What are they going to try to screw me on?
Don't get minged. that's the one thing. Don't get minged.
Ceramic coat. Ugh.
Yeah. Matt's like, don't get paint protection. Don't get this. Don't get that. They're going to try to sell you this.
it's the paint protection that's not really protection, yeah. Is it like yeah. We'll take you to a proper place to get it done,
probably. I'll get it. That's why I have to get the proper paint protection done, and you get the front two windows
tinted
because all the other windows are tinted except the front two. Yeah. That's like, oh, you can do that after, you don't have to do it at the deal. And I want to get a dash cam because I'm suspicious of other drivers, and
I think Subaru's price for tinting the front two windows was like $380. And so
I can't remember. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you'll get it for like 150-ish.
It was a lot more than what Matt said. Yeah. I can get it for. So
yeah. You know, the dealerships, like when we bought the Suzuki, they tinted the windows for free, or so we thought it was free. It was probably part of the deal delivery charges that they cut down.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll probably, as Matt said, like don't go through those things with the dealership. Just do it on your own. You can usually find a much better price.
Yeah.
That's why I have you. That's why I'm friends with you guys.
That's the only reason. He doesn't actually like us. He just needs car advice and car stuff.
No, it's a very nice car. You got it in the sedan as well. I actually like him in the sedan. Yeah,
I wanted a hatch because I have, my Mazda was a hatch. Matt and I are big hatch fans. The Car Talk is a hatch friendly.
It is very, very hatch friendly.
Hey, we're pro hot hatches.
We are pro.
We tolerate the hot hatches.
And I like the shape of the Impreza hatch. And I was going to get it. And then I was just like, looking at it, I'm like, I think this sedan looks a lot better.
It does.
And I looked at the measurements and it was only like a tiny, tiny bit longer. So that wasn't going to be a problem for me who didn't want a big car. And the liters of the boot space is actually bigger in the sedan. I guess it's just not as tall.
Tall, yeah.
Yep.
And in the end, I was just like, yeah, nice. Sedan was a bit nicer, I think.
Excellent.
Yeah. Oh, nice. You made a good choice. I think the sedan looks better. Yeah.
Give him a big congratulations.
Well done, mate.
Yeah.
Well done.
I hope you didn't corner somewhere in a shopping center, right? Yeah. You gotta do just the thing where you now park
away. Oh yeah. I did that even the Mazda, even though the mirror was falling off and the paint was all peeled. I was like, I'm not parking near anyone.
Good training.
Yeah.
Oh, so now congratulations. And you got it in the gray. The gray looks good.
Yeah. I always want a black car. I like black cars. I mean, wearing black now, everything black. I'm like Batman, either black or very, very dark gray. But obviously black is very hard to keep clean. Yes. And so the next best thing was like a dark gray. So I got the magnetite gray, I think they called it. So yeah.
Do you like washing cars?
No.
Ooh, okay.
This is my problem. Is my dad's like, you have to keep, yeah. He's like I'm like, yeah, once a month. He's like, not once a month.
Once a week.
I'm like 2 weeks. We'll compromise. Every two weeks. So yeah, I'll have to get used to taking it.
Yeah. Don't use the brush. Whatever.
No. Yeah. that's one thing I learned. Matt and Alan, like, don't do the automatic brush.
And don't use the hand brush.
No.
Like that is just automated. Like I saw a guy with a brand new C63 do it on Sunday morning, and I was there. I was like. we'll glance over that, because we are joined by the one and only Rizzy Ross actor. What's happening, Rizzy Ross?
It's all happening, my man. Been all over Melbourne. You guys have seen some of the updates recently.
I've been in headquarters, Nissan headquarters.
Nissan headquarters, BMW headquarters, but no, it was really good little trip at the museum at Arthur's Seat on the weekend. It was good to see everyone in person. Next trip, James can bring his Impreza up there as well. It's actually designed for mountain street racing. So,
I like the drive now. So.
Yeah, that's right. While you could not make it, James, Scotty took one for the team. He climbed the mountain. It was good fun. And not much else on the car news, apart from the fact that I am looking for new tires, which I spoke to Scotty about on the weekend for the red car. And yes, stock is an issue.
Have you worn them out already?
No, I haven't. I want to get some in case I run into trouble, because one tire shop reckoned that they could not get the same tires. They had to get either the Porsche spec or the AMG Mercedes spec ones.
Wow.
Because they don't have the standard ones. But they're the same tire, just with OEM's branding on it. But I don't really want that. So I just have to start looking now. Doesn't matter, sort of, you know, if I've got four of them spares, it's better to have them than, you know, I'd say I'd still get probably another 30,000-40,000 Ks out of them, but just got to be in case, just got to be on the lookout. So that's all the car news for me.
Nice. We'll get to our little trip in a little bit. We'll go around the screens. Scotty Doe.
Car news for me. So I guess we were talking last week where I was going to get the roadworthy and everything done for the 31. Unfortunately, they're a little bit strict than what I imagined, considering some of the things that popped up on the list.
That was nuts, that list. Nuts.
It was ridiculous.
To put it in perspective, they went through your car with a fine-tooth comb. You know, I was expecting to say, bushes and stuff, that's pretty normal, but a grommet for the spare tire well, I thought was a bit stiff. I'm like, really? Like, they're actually going to sting you on that?
Yep, twisted seat belt, because, you know, it's too hard for them to untwist it.
Yeah.
Mm. The amount of fine-tooth combing they would have had to do to pull up all those items
why wouldn't you just untwist the seatbelt?
Yeah, exactly.
You're spending that much time getting in, like, in the nitty gritty, would you just fix those things while you're there? I feel they were just being
petty.
Petty is a nice word I'd use, but I'd use it differently.
It didn't take me long. I jumped in the car and just untwisted it. And then I drove it back home. So stupid. But yeah, there is a couple things that I'll end up fixing that I see as important. So there's a seized brake caliper.
Yeah, I think
so. I'll fix that. And one of the fuel hoses is a bit dodgy that they used underneath. So I'll fix that.
And wheel studs too long?
Yeah, wheel studs too long.
Yeah, I mean, that's really weird. You know, what do they say? Because it protrudes too long. Or if it was to have stock wheels on the car.
Yeah, I mean, I just said I put it there for like safety. There's more thread.
Yeah.
On it, so it's safer, less stress on the studs themselves because they're longer. But yeah, was it rear discs? I think they said were undersized. That won't be too hard to repair, though.
Yeah.
They're pretty cheap, just new discs and that to throw on the back.
Yeah.
Yeah, bit of rust around the boot, they reckon needs to be fully repaired, even though he said that it's got nothing to do with the integrity of the vehicle or anything. But
so do you reckon that drive it down to the testing place?
I drove it.
My goodness, it's a wonder you didn't die on the way there, given what they found.
I know. It drove rather well.
I thought the rust was going to let in all the fumes and kill you on the way in.
Yeah.
there's no way the rust, you know, is exposed to outside anyway. It's just where the seals, just underneath the seals. All I need to do is just clean it up a bit and then that's it.
Yeah.
So that's not a drama.
Pulling the seal off to look for the rust.
Yeah, they're hunting for it by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
And just the rubber on the driver's side door, it's kind of, I guess, broken a bit.
Yep.
Water doesn't get in or anything, so I don't see what the major issue is with that. But
yeah, I thought you were a bit stiff on what they were pulling you up for. I thought that was a bit ridiculous, some of the stuff on that list. Like as I said, bushes and stuff and like a seized caliper, yeah, that's a safety issue and the likes, absolutely. But when it comes to like, you know, that grommet and a few other things like that. I thought you were really stiff to cop a list like that.
Yeah, and then he like they even mentioned your speedo and odometer and that doesn't have to work. It's not written or anything for a roadworthy, but he said you have to drive it. He has to drive it for 5Ks. And he said because he has to do that, he doesn't know the distance of 5Ks because it's not registering it. So I'd have to get that fixed anyway.
I haven't heard of him having to drive at 5 kilometers. Have you, David? I've never heard of that before.
No.
Never ever heard of that. I don't know what that guy's, you know, found out from there.
I thought the only thing they had to do was the brake test. That was the only reason they had to drive it, which they can do in the driveway if they need to.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's the reason why your car wasn't there on Sunday.
Yep, so I had to take the Subaru.
Which looked fantastic in the sun, I've got to say. It had a little bit of a tub the day before, I'm guessing.
It did. It got a bit of love the previous day.
Yeah.
The performance brakes on the Subaru.
Oh, yeah.
The slotted rotors and, you know, ready to take the mountain.
I've had those on there for a bit, actually.
It's a good-looking car, that series of Liberty. They're always a nice-looking car.
Absolutely.
We'll get to the drive in a second. David, what's with you?
Car updates with me. Well, it's sort of related, so I won't dwell on it, but I did have the loan of a nice car over the weekend, which I didn't tell you guys about because I didn't know it would actually happen until Thursday. But I was lucky enough to get a loan of a current Civic Type R for the weekend, which was a lot of fun, I've got to say. Time has not dulled my enthusiasm for them. So it was a great weekend and a great drive to try it out. Not sure if I told you on Saturday, we actually went and rescued another little waif of a car that was on its way to the tip. If we didn't go, it actually had to be moved out of a car park in Northcote because of renovations going on. and it was a 89 Legend. I had a call about, so it hadn't been driven for a few years, and you know, but you can be lucky and you can be unlucky. So got driven home, got jump started. It's got one of those horrible 80s aftermarket alarms. So think Cobra, think Xenon, think any of those fancy names that actually 20 or 30 years on just spell trouble, you know. Yeah. And those rotten immobilizers, nothing. I've never come across one that works on an older car. They all go out to lunch. So anyway, it got home with all the hazard lights flashing the whole way. So we haven't worked out how to stop the hazard lights flashing. But yeah, it was very honest old thing. It's a four door sedan, so a lot of them were in the champagne gold color with the brown leather. But it's done 119,000 k's from new. Wow. And complete Honda history up until Wow. when it wasn't driven. So the bones are really good. So we'll make something nice of that. And as we've talked before on the show, it's another one that, well, if we didn't take it, basically it was off to the scrap. So that car won't be scrapped anytime soon now. It will be far too good to do that too. And with a little bit of love and a bit of money. I mean, muffler's rusted out, not surprisingly, but that's pretty easy to sort out. But other than that, a really good clean, and we'll change fluids and brake fluid flush and cool and all those sorts of things, tranny service. But yeah, drove home fine. So everything works, sunroof opens, the windows go up and down, everything works. So, yeah, keep your eyes peeled for that at an upcoming event.
Yeah, I love that.
I know someone on this show that actually has their name as part of the title of the show had a bit of a hankering for a legend. So
I do. you've made my ears prick up a bit. So I would like to see some photos of this, Mr. Prince.
I will send you some photos.
Yes, I would be interested, actually, definitely, because I need a Honda. I'm part of this Honda club.
I know.
So I think that would definitely fit in my fleet quite nicely.
Oh, the other thing is I ventured into VSpec Imports yesterday. I had the N1 serviced a week or so ago, a couple of weeks ago, but they didn't change the CVT fluid, which I wanted done. It probably hasn't been changed since the car was new. It hasn't done 50,000 Ks yet, the car. So I know a couple of people that have got an association with VSpec, so I rang them and told them what I had, and, I don't think we've heard of one of those. I said, well, Google it, you know, see what it is.
They do exist.
The drivetrain's the same as the S660, the little convertibles. So same engine family and same CVT. So they said, yeah, look, and while I was on the phone to him, he Googled it. He said, yep, we can get that fluid. So I had new fluid put in it yesterday, but they were pretty surprised about it. I noticed it hasn't hit their socials yet. You know, the new GTRs have, and the Mugen RRs. I'm just waiting for the N1 to pop up on their socials. But
a lot cooler.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Rarer too, I've got to say.
What a lot.
But I went to pick it up and he said, oh, yeah, all done, you know, no problems at all. That's great. He said the mechanic took it for a run just to make sure everything was fine. Came back, he said he was feeling a bit seasick. So it probably leans a bit more than most of the cars he's used to driving there. So mind you, I don't know how hard he was driving it.
Yeah, that was
be part of the other thing too. But so that's it seems a bit smoother, but, you know, it's more peace of mind. At least now I know it's, you know, all fresh and good now for the rest of the time. Obviously, when you get a Japanese import, the service history can be a little bit, if it's got service history, it's not exactly easy to decipher sort of what they've done and what hasn't been done. So Google Translate on my phone's come in handy a couple of times down the B pillar of the car with the service stickers on it. So, yeah, so that's about my updates for now.
Alan.
Excuse me. Call me mid-yawn. The MX-5 was doing quite well, performed nicely on the old drive up the mountain.
Did.
I did lose the taillight.
You did.
But that's just a bulb, I'm assuming, hopefully. On the way back, I was going to say I actually ran the air conditioning because I was feeling a bit heat-soaked. And, you know, for a car that isn't really sealed well, air conditioning works fine.
Okay.
Given it's a small cabin, it doesn't need to do much, and it kept me cool enough.
So the air conditioning works?
Yeah. So okay. I ended up getting it regassed when
the brake lights were stuck on.
Okay.
The brake lights was just the actual pedal switch was a bit adjusting.
Yeah.
And then I said, well, while you're there, just check in the
aircon. Yeah.
And they just regassed it, and they saw that the service valves were leaking.
Okay.
So they just gave me new service valves.
Yeah.
And since then it's been nice.
Perfect.
Nice and cool. And more importantly, like in case I get hit with another storm like I did coming back from my KFC adventure with Riz, I'd like to have a defogged windscreen. The STI has still been sitting in the garage doing nothing. It's been booked in for a service. I booked one online. I went with Dockland Subaru again. You can actually choose specifically if you've got an STI to book with the STI team.
Okay.
Which you can't do at any other Subaru, but they will still let you book the car in for a service.
Okay.
So this time when I go in, I'm going to actually ask them, like, can I take this to Essendon?
Yeah.
Because I'm not exactly fond of coming to Docklands just for a service.
Yeah.
And if they seem to be okay with it, then I'll probably just take it to Essendon from now on, seeing as it's my closer kind of dealership.
But they don't have STI team at Essendon?
No, they don't. They only have the STI team at Docklands.
They got badges on their overalls or something?
I think pretty so, much, yeah.
Probably.
You don't go to the ground floor where the plebs are. You go on the top floor.
That makes sense.
At the top floor.
James, he's having a dip at you right now.
I also thought about partly why my experience might have been a little more crap. I was going through the fleet purchasing team. They're assuming it's obviously because it was a company car. It still is a company car if the ATO comes knocking. maybe that would have been the reason, like, if you're buying as a fleet car, you don't expect your customer to care because it's going to be some unnamed, government grunt that's going to be driving it with the M plates on it. Maybe that might be the reason why I had a less than stellar experience that time. I don't know. But I think this time, hopefully, seeing as everyone's out of lockdown, maybe they'll have a more jovial kind of mood. Maybe. I don't know. But, thankfully, it's a cap price service, $306 dues. I'm not going to say yes to any alignments, any brake checks. I don't know why I said yes to the brake check last time. I was not paying attention, and I said, yeah. I walked away and realized that cost me like $45 to check brakes on a car that's, 6 months old? Yeah. That was a silly move of me, but this time,
I mean, they should be really checking that in the service anyway.
But they specifically use that, that thing that has on the floor, Breco thing.
Brake test.
They wanted to use that one, which, I mean, I think they cost a couple of $1,000. We kind of broke one with our truck once. it wasn't our fault. We were told to drive on it, but I guess those things have to make their money somehow.
They do.
I think those are about, a little box here. I nearly forgot about. What's in the box? Ladies and gentlemen. Take your guesses.
Vape stick for James's new Subaru.
Yes.
No? Any other guesses?
Gear knob.
Yeah, I was going to say gear knob.
A knob.
No, it's a little electronic device of sorts. It's made by some Chinese company. And basically, it plugs into the back of the OEM unit for the MX-5 and gives me Bluetooth and auxiliary input.
Oh, okay.
Cool. So I don't have to modify the unit. The unit can look stock as a rock.
Stock as a rock.
And I can, just play my tunes through my phone. Nice. And also, it comes with a little mic as well. So I can technically also make calls if I want. I don't know how good that's going to be. I'm not banking on that being incredibly good. It's more so just the Bluetooth connectivity for the low price of, I think, about $110.
It's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, and like I said, to buy it off the original vendor, it was going to cost me, I think, $208. Buying it through Amazon, I got it for $100. So I'm very happy with that.
Yeah, and you'll take that.
We'll let you know how the installation goes because I don't have the hook things to remove the stereo with. I think you need four.
You do. So what I did was, because it's the same one was in the laser. Exactly the same unit. I got a coat hanger. And bent it over and just made four of them, put it in, and then tried to wiggle it, got it mainly out, and put my hand behind the glove box and just popped the last bit out. And it was.
So I'll let you know how I go by next week. I'll probably have a lot of choice words to say. But here's, I was being hopeful that it works out nicely.
No, nice. Very, very good. Updates with me?
Nobody cares.
Thank you.
What's broken?
Well, things are broken this week, believe it or not. So, now, the MR2 is driving really, really well, obviously, but I went to put my window down, and it didn't come back up. So
I've had that before.
I was like, oh, so I had to kind of like I had an appointment earlier and I was trying to get it up and that sounds really bad, doesn't it? I was trying to get the window.
That's what the appointment was for, I suppose.
Yes, yeah. So I was trying. I think the motor's just died. So I'm like, well, I can't leave my car here. So I had to I pushed it up and it took me a good 15 minutes to actually close the door. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not opening that anymore for a while until I get a new motor. So it's just like I just heard it. It was like, and it just stopped. But it still goes down, but it just refuses to go back up. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to need to get one from my good friends in the UK where I'm getting all my parts from, which is surprising for that car. So that will be on that list to fix. Also, the Speedo has been a bit, how are you going? It just kind of just flops all over the place a little bit sometimes. And apparently it's common for AW11 and that gearbox to do it. But there's people that have been converting them to electric because the later Corollas that had the same C52 gearbox had an electric Speedo. But it's still analog in the dial, but electric as in it, you know, goes up and down electrically. So I was speaking to a friend and he reckons that we can use an Arduino to we can basically get the sender off a Corolla, which there's tons of them at the wreckers, and make the Arduino work with that, so it stops that fluctuation and I can calibrate it because it's about 11 or 12 k's off on the Speedo anyway. So it'd be nice to get a good solid calibration with that, and it'd be a nice, I think, effective and cheapish mod to bring it back up to the standard. So that's that. The LTD is at the mechanics getting its yearly service. I replaced, when I was bringing it on the road, I got a new water tap for it, and the water tap's already failed. So it's should be under warranty because I haven't done 20,000 Ks in it. So my mechanic's taking it, trying to do me a warranty job for that. So because I was like, I said to him, it's been using a little bit of water. I don't know why. And then he's like, yeah, we'll have a look. And he had up on the hoist today and he called me. He's like, yeah, the heater taps decided to not work. And it's really weird because it's a Daco, and Daco we usually quite good.
Yeah.
So he's like, we'll get you a new one of those. And basically he's like, look, the car's still fine. So you can, put that. I'm going to actually put that up for sale soon. Because the guy that I'm trying to sell it to, he's a bit hard to get in contact with, so I'm just going to move it on because I don't like it sitting at the front of my house just getting rained on and crapped on and just breaking my heart seeing it's there like that. It's too nice a car. So even though it's an old LTD, it's still a reliable old girl, so I want to see her.
What sort of case has it done, Maddie?
247, I think, from memory. Okay. So it's not astronomical case, it starts first click every time. You know, it is a reliable old car. Like it just works, and it's better than some of its parts, as one Edward Bunting would say. But it is actually a really comfortable and nice car to drive.
Mm-hmm. The Highball guys have actually got another page now. I noticed Highball Motor Exchange. I don't know if you've seen that or not.
No.
And there's some interesting cars come up on that for sale, you know. And they, as we know, Highball loves a bit of a quirky little, you know, something unusual.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that might be worth checking that out and putting it up there.
Yeah, I think that might be.
It'd be attracting a really, you know, good sort of audience who, you know, would be, and it's been to Highball, so there you go. Yeah.
I mean, the body's not perfect. It's, you know, it's got... Yeah, it's got dings and scratches and stuff, but
I think 30-year-olds are perfect, aren't they, Maddie?
Yeah, this is true. It's an 89, so it's 32 years old at this point. And I think it has its flaws, but it's an honest car, and everything's there. It's complete. It's very original. I've got some original parts I took off and replaced with the later NC Fairlane stuff because the mirrors on that came on the car were just mounted. So I found a wrecked one but I didn't realize at the time that they were slightly different. They all work fine. It's just a smooth shape. And I've kept the original parts anyway. So if anyone wants to make it a fully original, they can pop them back on. But yeah, no, it's that should get done, and I can take the MR2 back to get the aircon done because the guy didn't finish the job on the day I picked it up. I'm like, I needed it by Friday, and my mechanic, because he gets the aircon guy to come and just gas the car, he wasn't able to it. So hopefully that's all done, and then I can then service the Typhoon, then service the Forester because that's due, and then just then the Mercedes, and then I'm all done for another year. So
but doesn't it cycle back? By the time you get to the last one, you just have to go back to the
pretty
first
much
one.
Yeah, it's I call it the circle of life. but anyway, moving on, gentlemen. Sunday.
Sorry, Matt, before you interrupt, I might say goodbye.
No worries, my friend.
Because I've only driven the car for a few hours. I'll come back on once I've played with all the buttons and I know what they'll do.
When you find the ejecto cito, cuz, let
yeah,
me know.
Yeah, when I know what all the little switches mean, I'll come back on and I'll talk about it more.
Good to see you, James.
You too, guys.
Take care,
see
man.
You guys.
No worries. See you, mate.
So Sunday was a very good day. It was classic Not Japan, our little shindig that we organized, which I think was a smash hit, gentlemen. I think it really, really worked quite well.
It was a great
weather
day.
Weather was fantastic.
Yep. It was spectacularly good. I think we couldn't have chosen a better day to do it.
No.
So it was, it was around 30 degrees. It was just beautiful weather. So basically, I met Alan and my brother down my end, and we drove over. We met all you guys. We met at Macca's and caught up, and I was surprised not to see not only one but two Civic Type R's in blue
with very specific plates as well. They were.
Yes.
So Mr. David Thomas Tank Prince was
Vice President of the
Honda Club was able to flex his Honda Club. Let's say prowess.
Contacts.
Contacts, well, yeah.
There was a really good synergy about the whole day, really, because everyone was somehow connected, because the fellow who's the head of public relations at Honda, who is a mate that I know through the club and through Honda, my associations with Honda, worked with Ed for 3 or 4 years back in the late 90s, I think it was. So, I mean, they've been mates for years. So when he knew, when I told him what I, asked him if I could, if there was one available for the weekend, and he said, "Oh," I said, "that sounds great." He said, "I could I tag along?" I said, "Well, sure." he was going to bring the NSX actually, but the NC NSX, which they've got, but he said, "I tossed it up." He said, "But it's a pre-production car and it can't be registered, so it's got to be driven everywhere on trade plates."
Oh,
so he said, it's probably, we don't want to get in trouble because it wasn't, it could have been going to a display, but the display would have been at the car museum. Arthur's Seat. But he thought that was probably pushing the boundaries of what it was meant to do. But
there's always a next time.
Always a next time. That's right. That's exactly right. But I was lucky enough, as a couple of my daughter and son-in-law have made a surprise trip back to Australia from Scotland for Christmas. And Sean is my son-in-law is an avid listener of the show in Scotland. So he was thrilled to be able to come along and put some faces to names and voices.
Hopefully we didn't turn him off.
No, not at all. He had a great day.
Yeah, no, I very much appreciate meeting Sean, and also finding out that he works for one of the companies that make the games I love most. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's funny. That's a real demographic thing. I was telling someone who we worked for the other day, and they just looked blankly at me. And then one of the other service advisors was walking past, and who's about, your age, probably younger. And I said, "Have you heard of this company?" He said, "Yeah." I said to the person that I was talking to initially, "You see, there you go." I said, "It's a demographic thing." But he's got a very cool job and he loves his job. So that was the reason they got to come out for work. So, it was fortuitous that he could come on the drive, but he had a great day. So,
I mean, he had a great day because another person that tagged along had his old MX-5.
And that was another little bit. Yeah. Ed had, when they went to Scotland, he'd left his MX-5 here. His parents, were sort of keeping it for if he came back. And they'd been away 4 years. They were going to take it on the honeymoon last year, but the wedding didn't happen because of, we all know why it didn't happen. So they decided, well, we may as well just, you know, move it on. So Mr. Bunting was a facilitator in that, and the fellow that bought it actually met us at the bottom of Arthur's Seat. So again, because we weren't sure if that was going to happen or not, I hadn't said anything to Sean. So when he actually found out at the, I'm not sure, I wasn't actually there. I'm not sure if he'd actually told him or if he actually noticed that it was his old car. So he was thrilled to be able to have a photo sitting in the old car, and misses it terribly. But and he's looked at plenty of them for sale overseas, but of course in Scotland they are just, you know, much, they're lightweight versions of MX-5s now, because most of them have rusted away, unfortunately. Yeah. The Scottish climate is not very friendly to anything made of metal, sadly. But it was a great day. I had a really good day, and great roads. I loved, for the people that hadn't been down, we drove through Mornington. For those listening that know the area, we drove sort of down through Frankston, around the back of Frankston, and down to Mornington. And then cut down Bluer Hill Road, and there's a big sweeping left-hand turn. You're just in suburbia, and then there's this great sweeping left-hand turn, and the Port Phillip Bay just looked absolutely magic, just stretched out beneath you.
I nearly crashed my car at that time. it just come around the bend, you see it all, and I'm like just enamored by it. I'm like, wait, yeah. I'm driving here. Better focus. Yeah. That was a lovely sight to behold. Thank you for taking us through that route.
Yeah, no, that's great. I've driven it many times on club events and stuff, and I thought, if you haven't been on that side of the peninsula or that side of the bay, that's definitely a must drive bit of road.
No, there were some really good cars there. I mean, Riz had probably the hottest car there.
Oh, that was.
Oh, I don't know how you got your hands on one of those, but my goodness.
Look, when we were tailgating up the hill, up that mountain, I mean, lucky it has a huge rearview mirror, so I could spot Scotty's in his Subaru performance vehicle. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to see him, given how fast this Colgay behemoth was driving up the mountain.
Come on, you got to tell everybody.
It was a 2015 Suzuki Solario.
Man, you know what, though? I actually quite like the Solario. It's a cheap but actually not a bad car. Like, they're actually quite a funky looking little thing.
If it was a manual, it would have been a little bit more appealing to drive. Mm-hmm. But having said that, I was just proud of it, given it got to the top of the mountain. I didn't think it was going to happen. But anyway, it did. And
did you turn off the AC for extra power? Like,
Look, I turned off the AC, put all the windows up, nearly had to sort of close the mirrors just to make it as aerodynamic as possible.
Spare tire out in the bush.
The bush, yeah.
All the tools.
No, it was good fun to see everyone, and yeah, I guess it was a little bit of a head turner, but not for the right reasons.
No, I think it definitely deserved to be there at Classic Nut Japan. It is a Japanese vehicle.
Is that a Japanese built vehicle?
No, it's a Thailand built.
Oh, Thailand! I thought they were built in India actually, but it was
earlier. I think the Altos were.
Altos, yep. Definitely were.
But yeah, I think these ones were from Thailand.
Okay.
Because Altos are like the Marutis and stuff, like they're massive over there.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, so yeah, they're very proud of the Maruti Suzukis. But yeah, we had some cool cars there. So obviously we had the Beast, the Phenom, you know, the Solario. We also had Scotty's lovely Lib B4, which was just flying up the hill. Two Type R's, which David, I got to get a drive in one of those one day. Like they are sick.
I said to Jess, we should have gone to the wedding car business. No, identical. Yeah. Quite a sight on the road.
There was a few people turning their heads. It was a nice, it's a nice blue color. I think that's what really caught
the color's amazing. Mm. And it's a pearlescent. I didn't realize it was pearlescent till I actually had it in my driveway. I thought they were just a straight blue, but
like a flat blue.
Yeah.
It was definitely breaking necks. Like, not only C1, but C2. Like, whoa. Okay. So we had those. We had three MX-5s. We had Alan's NB and two NAs, Ed and put the other guy's name now. Who's
Renault Rob.
Renault Rob, that's it. Renault Rob, that's right. So he had the white one. And then
I hold the title of the by far the best sounding one.
You do it. It did sound really nice. Obnoxious or anything, just sounded that like a sporty tone.
Yeah. I relished any like underpass or anything I could.
That was good. We had David Day's lovely original Cosmo. I mean, that is a beautiful car. They are such a pretty car.
It's a beautiful thing.
Beautiful. Have you driven that, David?
I have, yeah, a couple of times.
What's it like to drive?
It's very period, you'd say. It's the steering wheel's basically vertical. You sit very low, your legs are straight out in front of you, and it's a real racing car position. And of course, it's got the JDM bullet mirrors on the front guards, so you have this weird sort of perception of you over your shoulder, sort of to the back of the car. And it's a 10A, so it's no Fireball, but it has those skinny little 15-inch Michelin tires. They're like a 1.45 maybe, or a 1.55, so they're really narrow. They're actually the same tires that Volkswagen Beetles have.
All right.
But so it actually feels a bit like it's dancing, like it's actually really light on its wheels. So, really, really quirky and unusual car. He's had that nearly 40 years, I think, that car. Yeah. When he was growing up as a child in Hiroshima in Japan, where Mazda's headquarters is, obviously, he remembers them driving around as prototypes, all camouflaged, except with holes cut in front of the drivers. So that, you just see these Japanese engineers, through the hole in the windscreen, through the hole in the camouflage sort of draped over the car. For the testing, and he decided then he wanted one. So he's and I don't know if you noticed the plates, it's still on full reg, and it's got the original personalized plates from back when personalized plates became a thing. So that must be over 30 years ago now. And they were like all blue and white. That was the only color they came in. So it's got the blue and white Cosmo one number plates. Anybody that's been to any car show around Melbourne over the last 15 years probably knows the car. It's been to all the Japanese car shows, and that's the thing. He doesn't treat it. He's careful and gentle with it, obviously, but it's no show pony. It's got some battle scars around it, and it's and it gets driven. And to me, that just adds to its coolness. The fact that
it's been through its fair share of togays.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I do agree. That's really what you want, a car that's driven.
Yeah.
Yep. That's right.
That's what they're made to do. Just keeping them garaged up and covered and then brought out on a trailer or something.
And while I love the museum, the museum was great and had some really interesting thing, I always feel a little sad for the cars in there because, a lot of those cars have been there for many years now and haven't moved out of there. So, that's not what cars were designed for, really.
As I said before on this show, when I bought the MR2, it had 318,000 Ks, and that didn't bother me. It's like, it's been used, at least I know everything works, obviously I needed a few things, it was worn from just use, but it wasn't mechanically, it's still really, really good.
Yep.
So, and a lot of cars that I've seen that have got they've been show ponied, they've done 100 kilometers in their life. You wouldn't want to own that because you'd have to pretty much, all the seals are dry.
That's right. That's right.
It's just not fun. Like, I remember I went to Small Ford Sunday and took my laser once. I've took it a few times. But the first time I went, I was parked next to an Escort RS Cosworth. I loved it. And this one, this guy had in the UK and he drove it and he brought it over and it had a lot of Ks. And he's like, go check the one over there. And I didn't know, but there was one, a white one on a trailer behind a van. I didn't see it because the van was in front of it. And I got to have a look. He's like, look at the Ks. It had 4 miles on it.
Oh.
And I'm like, dude, this is a homologated rally car. Like, why wouldn't you want to drive this car? I kind of feel sad for the car because feel sad for the person that owns it because, it's not treating it how it should be treated.
Exactly.
That's why I think I've always floated the idea of if you get a chance to buy a relatively rare or expensive car, not necessarily shying away from buying the car that has the highest kilometers.
That's right.
If you already got the car that has the highest Ks of that variety, what are you going to do by putting more Ks on it? Nothing.
Nothing.
You want to put the highest K one, keep driving it. You won't feel as bad. Whereas if you buy one with, like, let's say middle or low case, I think you'll definitely really feel a sting from, you know, you're like, am I under, you know, depreciating this car by driving it too much, that sort of thing. It's always going to be in your mind, no matter, you know, what it is.
Yeah.
I think trying to buy a high mileage example may be the way to go if you do want to drive the car and enjoy the car.
Yeah, I can completely agree with that. Like, it's, and with the car that's done a lot of miles, like the you know, the maintenance is done. Like, it's been looked after. Like, it would have had, you know, as long as that's been done, it's been done. And this is the thing with like my Typhoon, it's got 136,000 Ks on it. And I mean, you're like, I bought it with 106, I put 30,000 K on it, which is not a lot, but it's not nothing. And, you know, I've done the maintenance and stuff, but even then, I've still, like, you know, about 3,000 or 4,000 Ks ago, the rear main started to have a bit of a weep because it's not driven as much as it should be. And yeah. That's my fault. You know, like, I just feel like, you know, it's not much you can do. But yeah, definitely not shying away from that. But yeah, that Cosmo was lovely. I took obviously the MR2. And what other cars was there? I think that was it. Oh, my brother came along. He didn't bring a Japanese car.
The part I laughed about the most was, we had to get some E85, decided to get it closer to the meeting spot of the McDonald's Burwood. So we got the Blackburn South.
Blackburn South, yeah.
Blackburn South United. That's where we got the E85. So we had a full tank. And before we even got to the destination, he had blasted through a quarter of it.
ethanol. That's all you need to say, ethanol.
But, like, there were quick, I was having a couple of quick spurts here and there. There definitely was.
Yeah.
I mean, even I was in the MX-5. It didn't look like he was going that hard to be, you know, a quarter tank gone. How many Ks would that have been as well? Like 50 Ks maybe?
He's like the thing's ridiculous. If you put on 98 and it runs normally, but when you have it on E85, it just drinks. But I guess that's why they say it's free power, but really is it?
It's not free power. You definitely pay. Even if the E85 is cheaper, as in some situations which it is, you definitely end up using way too much. Positively, the MX5, I ended up filling it up yesterday, I think, after the fuel light came on. So all the driving we had done, including my brother-in-law borrowing it, everything else, I got 7.2 liters per 100 Ks.
Pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And that was inclusive.
Really good.
Fun style driving, no economic driving at all. So I was quite proud of that.
Absolutely. My brother's like, can I tag along? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, you want to bring the Forest? He's like, look, I'm taking my car. And I'm like, sure, just come. The more people, the better. Anyway, Ed told him to give it a bit of a hit in the tunnel. And I think Scott and you and Ed regretted it instantly because Ed had the top down, windows down, and an external wastegate.
I was a little bit ahead, and I thought, you know, I'll give the boys a show, you know, with my little 1.8 with the exhaust. And so I start ringing it out, and it's sounding fine. And then it just gets drowned out, completely drowned out.
See, I did the same in mine too. I thought, oh, yes, tunnel. And, you know, mine's got an exhaust on it, so it's not quiet. Couldn't even hear mine whatsoever.
I couldn't hear mine either.
So it was an experience to be had. But no, look, the day was great. It was some great roads, and then we stopped at the museum up there. Shout out to those guys. And the museum was called, Mr. Prince?
Charlie's Auto Museum, I think it is. It used to be called the Pine Ridge Motor Museum, so I think it does come up on some searches as that.
Yep.
It's run by a guy called Charlie Schwerkolt, who and the Studebaker Club was there the other day too when we were there. And Charlie's actually big into his Studebakers, and that's why there's a few in the museum itself.
Yeah,
but it's quite a broad range of quirky stuff there. Two Bricklin SV1s, which
I was going to say there was two Bricklins. I didn't even know they had Bricklins in Australia.
Yep.
Because I actually did a bit of research on one, like, before, like, what a Bricklin was. Well, I forgot his name from Drive and Protect. He did a Bricklin, and I was like, oh, I want to research more into this. And I was like, pretty cool car, pretty safe car of their time.
Yes.
He had those. He had a Honda Insight. He had Fiat X19. He had a Cortina.
Some of the Czech cars. The Tatra was interesting, and the The Rally Skoda. Oh, that was cool.
Yeah.
Isettas, Bond Bugs.
Yeah, two of those. Yeah.
And A9X Tirana hatchback.
Did.
That's a bit of money sitting there.
Oh, yeah.
Messerschmitt.
Messerschmitt, yeah.
Yep. Yep. Two Toyota Sierras.
Yeah, yeah.
In a quirky little display.
Gogomobiles.
Gogomobiles, he did.
Gogomobiles. Yep. Including a Dot.
The Dot. So, yeah, they had, and it was like tons of memorabilia and all sorts of stuff that was there. And Ed was happy because he saw two model Tiragos up the top. And
yes.
I was like, yeah, there you go, Ed, representing your part of the world. But no, I thought the museum was actually really, really cool. Then we stopped and we all brought in some lunch and so we had a picnic lunch and stayed there, and yeah, it was great. And even the cops were having a good time when they rocked up.
Yes.
That was so funny, wasn't it, when Rob went to leave in the MX-5 and spun the wheel, just not even meaning to, just very gently, and
we're all like, "Oh!" Out of the
car, pulls his glasses down his nose. You know, it was very cool.
But he was all right about it. He's like, "All right, I want to defect you all." Like he was having a joke about it. He was actually really nice. So cops like that, respect. You know, like I like, yeah, at least you can have a laugh. You know, you can have a laugh about it.
Well, this is a thing when they're trying to catch me right and dirty. It's it's always a bit of a thing, you know. This is a message to the laws that we hate you, you know what I'm saying?
I think, Riz, we had a good mix of ethnicities, let's just say.
We did.
So we you know, we had to respect the others. It's just me and you and maybe Maddie.
I think that I was on the borderline with the police officer himself. I wasn't sure which ethnicity he represented. But, you know what I'm saying, maybe that's why he forgave us for all the sins we had committed on that road.
But just having a nice, respectful group of people, you know, we were there to have obviously a good time. We did have a nice spirited drive up and down. We didn't try and break any laws, well, explicitly. So we weren't there to be hoons. We weren't there to, you know, burn rubber. We just had to have a good drive, do a little bit of, you know, sightseeing,
yeah,
and just, you know, have a good lunch and then, you know, be on our way. And that's what we did.
And I think that was a good thing about it, was relaxing. The drive was relaxing. No one was trying to overtake each other. You know, there was nothing silly going on. It was just a really nice, comfortable cruise.
Yeah, it was.
There was an annual event?
I think it should be.
Yeah.
I'm definitely down for an annual event. I mean, if Classic Japan actually comes back again, we'll definitely be going out. But like,
yeah,
our Classic Not Japan, I think, was a raging success, gentlemen. I think
we'll relabel it something else,
yes,
for legal reasons, you know. Car Talk annual cruise or something.
Yes.
And yeah, and it'll be more okay, we'll make it a little more open in terms of manufacturers.
Yeah,
you know, it won't just be Japanese. I was going to complain that, you know, the Type R's weren't exactly classic. Yeah. But when we showed up, like I said, with an Australian, you know,
car,
straight six,
it throws out the window.
We had no stand on at that point.
I think the FK8 will be a future classic.
It definitely will be. Absolutely. It's
the last of the UK built ones.
That means, yeah, I can ring the STI. Yeah. Future classic.
Yeah.
No, that's not a future classic. They're
the last of the EJs, sir.
I think it'll be a classic. It's, I think, or we could call it Future Classic Japan.
Future Classic Japan.
We all have brand new cars.
Then we all have to go and buy brand new cars, though. That's, yes,
the but no, the Type R being the update that you were in, it looks a lot better. And it's actually in that blue. It looked epic when the sun was hitting it. I'm like, yeah, that's sick. So I was really happy to see two of them, let alone two. But yeah, that was really, really cool. So that was a great day. I just wanted to thank you guys in particular. If it wasn't for you guys, it wouldn't have happened. So thank you, gentlemen. Much appreciated.
Well, thank you, everyone, as well. And thank you again, Dave, for picking that route. Like I said, my idea was just, we're going to hop on the freeways and get there and just, you know, golf.
Oh,
the...
No,
Amy,
yeah, can't do that.
Like, the freeways were useful on the way back.
Yeah.
Yes. That's the beauty of going down there, for exactly that reason. There are so many great little roads, you know, around the back. And actually, when we left, we didn't go back down the mountain. We went sort of down the back of it and cut through to Hastings. And I found another couple of roads I'd never been on, which were a lot of fun. So, you know, okay, there's plenty of resources down there.
Well, we'll have to try that next time, I think, definitely.
Indeed.
Well, yeah, no, that's that was Classic Not Japan, gentlemen. So definitely annual event. I think we need to put this on the calendars.
And next time I'll get some videography going on.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, that'd be good.
And my brother will probably drown us out again with his car, but that's another story.
we'll strap a GoPro on the back of his car.
It spits flames, like it's ridiculous. Like it's just a ridiculous car.
It's obnoxious.
It's so obnoxious, but you know what? It looks good. I think the wheels suit it. Like
yeah, big time.
And like the fitment's right, and sorry, I forgot his name. The guy had the other Honda Type R. What was his name
again? Justin.
Justin, that's right. Justin. He really liked it because he worked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he had a G6E turbo.
Yeah.
And it worked at Ford after he left Polk, where he met Ed. He worked at Ford for a number of years. So yeah, he's a big Ford head. He posted on his socials later in the day. My dream garage, you know, was Lucas Falcon and a Type R.
Yeah, I'm like that. That was, I mean, two very blue cars, and I think that would like look really nice. So. But anyway, gentlemen, tonight I was thinking for the topic before we get into the quiz, were cars that we want to experience next. Like you know, it could be a car that we want to experience or like own, and why. And for me, like I got watching things, but the one that got me was the Cosmo. I want to experience a rotary powered something, and I think my hankering for something rotary. I know it's pain, and I know it's suffering, and I know it's all those terrible things. But a part of me is just like, I need to have something rotary powered before I die. You know, I need to get. I've always wanted an FDRX7, but they just forget about. I'm never going to be able to afford one of those now. But like something rotary powered. I mean, FCs are still kind of reasonably priced. Even like a series like one or two or three. They're you can still get them around the 20 grand ish mark. It just got me thinking, like just the noise and it's just a cool quirky engine that I actually really want to experience.
I think for me, I definitely want to get myself into a V8 sooner rather than later because they, you know, at this point
they're dying.
Very much are dying. You know, yeah. Being, at this point, not even, they're not even replaced by sixes. It's fours and turbos. That's it.
Yeah.
So getting myself into a nice big V8 would be ideal. But also like more futuristic, like trying to get myself into a V10 or a V12, at least for a ride. I definitely would. I mean, we're not talking the V10 that you get in the, was it Touareg or something? Yeah. Like proper V10. The proper V10 or a V12. But at least to own something with a V8 would be very nice. I'd be happy to pay, you know, the $3 a litre or whatever we will be for petrol at the time. But it'll just be something that you bring out, you know, once in a while, a unique kind of thing, given that everything else is going to sound like this.
Yeah.
Sound of silence, ladies and gentlemen.
So, yeah, I definitely want to experience that. But, yeah, I'd like to experience a V10. I reckon a V10 would be cool. What about you, gentlemen?
I was having a think about it. So I've had a V8 before. It wasn't a big one or anything. It was just a 4.3.
But that was a lovely V8, though. That was a really nice car.
So that was a good one. So I've had that before. Really wants
to experience a roadworthy Skyline.
I've had plenty of straight sixes and turbocharged ones and four-cylinder turbos. Rotary would be fun, but I think probably just drive one.
Yeah.
Or even just be in one. I've never really been in one before.
Yeah.
Definitely V10 and all that is up there. Yeah, I'd like a really good V12. I think that would be awesome to experience. Yeah. I think that's definitely right up on the top of my list.
So a Jag, maybe, or a...
Next JS.
little bit better.
Century.
Yes, a Century V12, yes.
I mean, have you heard them with ITBs? Oh, they sound nuts. They sound so cool. West Jeff used to live there. There's like a little alleyway and this guy only drives his Golf R. So I didn't really think much of it. But then the other day, because Steph's like, there's always an exotic car. And she's like, I think it's a Lambo, but I don't know what. She's like, I never really got to see it properly. I only saw the back when he was driving out. Anyway, this one day I was driving out that way, and I see it coming out. It's a manual Murcielago. I was like, oh, I was like, wow, okay, wow, that's cool. And it was loud and obnoxious, but I'm like, respect. Like, that's a V12 I can get behind. Like, I'm like, that was really cool. And if I had like the gated manual, you know, shifter, I was like,
yep,
I want to experience a gated manual shifter. People reckon they're like just glorious just to hear the click, 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 click.
Click, 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 click. Yep, they are.
So, yeah, I thought that was really, really cool. So I was like, oh, I have to ask him for a ride one day. Hey, dude, no, I know you're taking it out today. Do you want to just take me around the block? That'd be cool.
What do you think about a Porsche?
Which one?
Just any? Would you like to drive one, or have you driven one?
I haven't driven one. I would love to. I don't think I've actually ever been in a Porsche, to be honest with you. I've sat in them. I've never been in for a drive, but I'd love to go in a Cayman S. I reckon a Cayman S would be for me like just the sweet spot. I mean, everyone would say, oh, GT3 RS would be where it's at, which don't get me wrong, I think would be, if not the ultimate, like 4-liter naturally aspirated flat six revving to a bazillion RPM. But I just think like a Cayman mid-engined, you know, it just feel like a nice car to drive. And I think that would be where I'd want to be.
Okay. You see, I'd have to go more classic than that. That was on my list, but I would like an earlier car than that. I think it's a more rawer sort of pure sort of way of how they were meant to be or how they started out. And it's remarkable that the basic shape has remained as it has for as long as it has. But no, I definitely have to go air-cooled, I think, and it definitely probably no newer than about 80. I think 85 was the real sweet spot for a lot of those, the G20 gearbox, I think it was. I've driven a couple, and the pedals feel strange because they come up from the floor, and you know they're a bit offset, and the driving position. But you've got the little froggy sort of eyes looking out over the dash, and the wipers in the middle. The sort of they're both attached to the body, just in the middle of the screen, sort of thing. Very iconic and beautiful interiors, and lovely sound too. And the door shut on them is like nothing else. It's a really solid door closed on them. I could definitely see myself in an old one of those.
I wouldn't mind like a nine. What's the last of the year called 993s?
Yeah,
993 turbo. Like that was always like one of my favorite cars as a kid. And I was like, oh, such a cool car. I like one, but I also was really
poster on the wall.
Yeah, it was that was in. I remember having the game, and we were talking about this the other day. Riz, Need for Speed High Stakes. That was the cover car. That and a 550 Maranello were like the cover car for it. And it was always the Porsche guy. I was like, yeah, I'll go the turbo. But I also think that there's a Porsche in there that doesn't get as much love as it should. And I've always been, I'm always like, oh, God, they're a good looking car. Was a 994. Sorry, 944, yep. My mistake. And I was like, yeah, I mean, yes, they're front engine, but they were really well balanced. They've got like, you know, a rear mounted gearbox, you know, and they came as a turbo as well. And they're quite sought after these days. And there's a guy getting around the northern suburbs here with a really clean red one. Like, it's beautiful. And I was like, oh, I could see myself in one of those. Like that. That's a cool car.
I'd go even earlier. I'd go a 924.
Yeah.
A bit daggier and a bit less loved, but that's
they were less loved because
my cars in my collection, I think.
Well, they wasn't less loved because they were, inverted commas, a Volkswagen, but but they're not really a Volkswagen. They're really a Porsche. So no, definitely would love to get one of those one day. What about you, Riz?
Three cars.
Oh, here we go. Strap yourself in.
Daihatsu Copen GR. That is my K car pick that or the S660, but I'll choose the Daihatsu Copen. Now, the second one would probably be Tesla Model S Plaid.
Ooh. your car made me sick on acceleration. That would actually make me throw up even worse. Like that would just be like all over. But it wouldn't even hit the dashboard because you'd be hitting me back in the face.
Yeah,
you'd bounce out my jeans. You'd be like,
and I think so. I don't think I've ever spoken about this particular car, but the dream, if it ever happens, would have to be the McLaren F1.
Ooh.
Now.
What happened to the M5?
Riz, off the list
It's gone. It's gone because, you know, M5 used to be the legendary car. I used to look, that was the car I wanted. It was subtle. It was a sleeper. If I had $1 million of, or whatever, 250 grand, whatever they cost, I'd get that. But yeah, since the Tesla experience, I don't think I would have that over a Model S Plaid. But yeah, the McLaren F1, we're talking about games, and it got me thinking the earliest motor racing game that I can think of was Need for Speed 2, yeah, SE, second, I don't know, the second edition or whatever it was called. And
in I had that one too.
You had the intro with two cars. I can't remember. There was a Jaguar, and I think, I don't know what the other one was, Lotus or something, racing, street racing. And then, you know, it's like really exciting music, and all of a sudden you have this real subtle music of this F1 driving through this little autumn, this open road in the UK with leaves flying all over it. And I was like, that is the most understated race car ever. So that was the first sort of race car that ever sort of captured my eyes. And yeah, if I don't know how many are there, because I think Rowan Atkinson has crashed about 50 of them.
Sure, he gets a rebuilt every time.
He does. Because the insurance is in, it was still covering.
But no, that would be my dream sort of car to drive.
Oh, so putting those down, eh?
Well, okay. Well, what about an attainable one for like your next experience that you'd like to experience? But like, you know, I was like, okay, well, maybe I could do this for my next car. What would you want that to be?
I still haven't had a Benz.
Mm-hmm.
I think Benz not on tonight because he'd be, well, come on, just go and buy one. Just go and buy one.
Yeah, he would be too. I know one. I know where you can get it.
I know. Yeah. No. I've even started looking for 202 wagons. Like, because 123s and 124s have evaporated into the ether, price-wise. But a 202 wagon would be all right.
202 is a great car. I mean, Scotty, you had a 202 and it was lovely.
Yeah, 202s look so good.
Yeah. For me, they're like the last year of like a proper Benz. Like that was they are a Benz. You know, like that's you're getting a quality car.
Yeah.
So yeah.
No, that's right. I mean, post that they. To me, they lost a bit of their specialness. So 123 or a 124, I still have to drive into 124 again after driving. I drove the 123 up to Macedon, and that was great, you know. But he said you'll drive the 124 as well. He said it, like that's the next generation of technology and drivability and stuff. And they're still quite affordable. You can still pick up reasonable priced ones of those. Yeah, it would require somewhere. I don't want one that is that good that I can't drive it and you know, can't park it anywhere, and I can't, you know, I'm worried about keeping it undercover and all that. So one with a little bit of, you know, life around its around the edges wouldn't be bad, I suppose, because you could.
I think I know a 124 though.
Can you grab another bit on the back? Like...
you want one that's been loved and enjoyed and driven.
Definitely do. Yeah.
So Ben's wagon. Alan, what do you want to experience next?
Still in the attainable range. I promised myself I would do it, no matter what it cost. Was an SLS. And they had come down to about 500-ish. Yeah. Which, again, this is not me, you know, today.
Yeah.
It's me, you know, let's just say in my 40s.
Yeah.
And they'd come down to about 500-ish. And I was like, that's probably where they're going to sit. Hopefully nothing goes wrong. Of course, COVID is hit. I just checked car sales. They're back to their initial purchase price.
Mm.
People are wanting 800 for them. And that would have been still okay, except for the fact that Mercedes now sells the AMG GT.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have the gullwing doors, but the car is priced at, you know, less than half what a secondhand SLS is going for. And even now, if you get the GTR, that has the same power as well. I think even more now, they're 440.
Yeah.
They're 440-ish or 430 kilowatts. So it's hard to say, hey, I'm going to buy this used SLS that's what, at this point, 8-9 years old, or in the future, it'll be, you know, 25 years old when there's, you know, there'll be something else available. So I don't know. It's the fact that the AMG GT started becoming made, that's kind of changed me. But again, those are probably going to transition to different engines as well eventually. So I need to either procure a loan or you know, make some shady deals in the next couple of years.
Attainable. I've never, I guess the one thing that on my list I've never owned is actually a hatchback.
Oh.
Never owned one. Always been coupes and sedans. Yeah, so I'd like to give one a go, a nice, quick, zippy hatchback.
Like a hot hatchback, maybe?
Yeah, it has to be. Can't be slow.
So are we going for the five-cylinder variant like you've spoken about before?
Yeah, I mean, if I could get my hands on a blade.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be sick.
That would be a lot of fun.
They are
very understated.
They are.
Most people look at it and go, oh, just a Corolla.
Yeah.
That would beat most cars in Australia. Like legit, they are that quick. Like, that is ridiculously quick.
Blade Master G.
Yeah.
I saw one on the road not too long ago, actually, a black one. And it was, and you know, I was like, oh, that's a Blade. Like, as you can tell, because it had the clear Altezza style lights in the rear. I was like, oh, you know, like, I got excited. And I'm like, wait, I was getting excited for a Corolla. And I was like, no, but this is a cool Corolla. This is actually. I respect for that one.
Yeah, I reckon that'd be a lot of fun. There's a lot of people talking about trying to, because, you know, it's the same motor that the Orion and that had in it. And we had the TRD version with the supercharger.
Yeah.
People putting a supercharger on one of those. So imagine that.
You would legit torque steer into the next traffic.
It already has a lot of torque steer right here. So.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Attainable. I feel I just want a K car. Like, yeah. You know, obviously on the weekend, if the Sirion can make it up to the top of a mountain, I think any K car in manual, we'll be able to get there. That's all I want. If S660, or a Daihatsu Copen, be open to any one of those cars. But there's just nothing available for sale in this current market, and that's why we need Scotty Chef's imports, like Iron Chef, but obviously next level, to restart their operation in 2022 after COVID, because there's a lot of desperate, affordable K-car potential customers that are looking for vehicles to be landed, complianced, and obviously in order to get it complianced and roadworthy, you've got to flip the seatbelt across just to make sure that it's all good. We want that happening, Scotty. Make it happen, my man.
All right, sounds like I have to.
There are two S660s on car sales at the moment.
Oh, S660s? Okay, yep.
Yep.
I'll have a look at them, yes. Are they in their 20s?
Yeah. What do you think? There's a 2019 Alfa Auto, 39.5 with 2,000 Ks, and a 2016 manual in beach blue, which is very similar to the Type R blue, which is the best color in them, $45,000.
Oh, jeez. So you spend a bit more and get nearly new 370Z. I don't know.
Yep. I think Copen's probably more
attainable.
More attainable, I think.
For me, it'd be a RX-7, I think. And I would love to get an FC or a Series 1 or 2 or 3. That doesn't really bother me. Just
Ryosuke Keske Matty J.
Yeah,
that's what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Takahashi Matty.
Takahashi Matty son.
Yeah, I just want to experience a rotary. I know it's going to be painful, but I mean, I've already had pain with my 124, so I know what that's like. But I wouldn't mind an RX-7. Yeah, RX-7 would be very, very cool.
Well, if you want to go super cheap, you'd have to go with an RX-8.
Yes, which is still kind of a. I know a guy that's selling one for like not much money. I mean, it's the motor's
pretty cheap. I like the look of them. Some people are like, oh, I don't like them. I don't
mind.
I can't get past those doors. I like the doors. I actually don't mind it.
Well, you're wrong. Look, if we know if there's one man that definitely goes super cheap, that is Matty J himself. You know, 10% discount at super cheap as an employee. He makes it happen. He's not an Autobahn man. Go, man, he's a super cheap man. So we'll make it happen, my man. An RX-7 delivered to your door, and we'll take the F6 Typhoon as a complimentary gift.
it's probably well, I mean, at this point in time, to get like a Spirit R, because I've always wanted an FD RX-7 Spirit R. For me, that's
there's one for $250,000 on car sales at the moment.
It's just idiotic.
Absolutely,
Scotty's just sent a really nice 88 FC. It actually looks really kind of tidy. Manual.
Yeah, that's lovely. I did.
It's a really clean car. I mean, it's missing the side molding on the sides, but it looks to be all there. And 28 grand's getting up there, but
it's the cheapest RX-7 you can get.
Yep.
7K just spent with receipts and roadworthy at Promax.
Wow. And I think this particular.
It's supposed to be a 20K car, and because they spent the 8K, they're trying to recoup their back.
Yeah. And I reckon this particular one also comes with Ryusuke's strategy book for all the mountains across Australia on
and his computer analysis.
All of his and what's going through his mind. It's all in there to win any street racing mountain battle.
Ryusuke's voice. That's like the car computer tells you when to brake, when to shift.
It's got the once you put the Red Sun sticker on the back quarter, you'll be
Mato Sun X Breaker.
It's got a very nice blue interior, very to trim that interior.
The back seats, they look incredibly deep.
Yeah.
Is that real or is this an illusion?
Yeah, it's you're up like that with
your leg's gonna be up in your face while you're sitting in those back seats.
I think it's like, so deep. Deep. Like that.
If you don't have to brake hard, your face hits your knees.
I think they're like that so that when the backrest folds forward, it actually is flat.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole back's then flat. I wonder if it's an Aussie delivered car. Oh, it's got inertia rear belts.
Yeah. There you go. Well, gentlemen, it's time for the car quiz. Alan, get to the other side of the desk.
I'll get to the other side. I won't cheat because I already know the answers.
That's what he says. All right, gentlemen. So you know the rules, guys. It is 10 questions plus some bonus questions, obviously, as per normal. Let me just get my notepad up.
Apologies, Maddie. I will have to depart this evening. I look forward to listening to Who Wins on Spotify and wherever you get your great podcast in my Resla. So I look forward to listening to that, and I'll share that for the socials.
Sounds good, my man. We'll talk to you soon, Rizzy Ross.
All right. Thanks. See you, gents.
There is.
All right, gentlemen. So let's get into it. Question one. What was the first Holden to receive disc rear brakes?
Scott. It's the Holden Turana LX A9X.
It was absolutely correct.
Whoa, look at you.
Now, tonight's theme, except for this next question, is all cars that were at the museum that we saw. And that car was there. And that was one of the...
I didn't pay attention.
Yeah.
That's because I was talking to Maddie and we read it at the same time. I go, that'd be a good question.
Conclusion.
That's my secret.
I'm calling authorities.
Well played.
Scotty, would you like a score check?
Yes, definitely. Yes, definitely.
David and Alan on 0 and Scotty on 1. So
I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
I want that as my ringtone.
Question 2. What car am I? Based off a regular passenger vehicle, this model of this particular vehicle was made for racing. It won the Japanese Touring Car Championship, DTM, British Touring Car Championship, Australian Touring Car Championship, and amongst others. It was the most successful road-derived racing car of all time and the most successful homologated car in history, winning a staggering 84.6% of races that it entered, which it still holds today, the record.
Wow.
What it lacked in delicate handling of a BMW M3, it made up for being far more reliable and was used in many forms of motorsport besides touring cars like rallying. It was in the World Rally Championship. It was a turbocharged four-cylinder. Alum.
Ford Escort.
Incorrect.
Yeah.
It was a turbocharged four-cylinder from the 80s, which was fed through a five-speed manual to the rear wheels and later an optional four-wheel drive.
Scott. Is it that the Ford Sierra?
Sierra is absolutely correct. Well done. Ford Sierra Cosworth. Well done. Which powered by the Cosworth version of this. What car am I? It is the Cosworth Sierra.
Wow.
Question three. Where was the Bricklin SV1 made?
David. Malcolm Bricklin. I want to say Canada.
Canada is absolutely correct. Well done.
There you go.
Bonus question. Around how many Bricklins were made?
Oh.
Alan.
2,000.
2,000? Whoever's closest will get it.
1,500.
1,500 is David?
900.
Mr. Alum, it was 3,000 in total, so you were closest. I'll give you the point. Question four. How many cc's was the Bon Bugs engine?
Oh, I should know this.
Alum. 1,089.
Incorrect.
Hey, don't we get the closest two?
I'll get closest two, but yes.
David. I'll go 799.
799. And Scotty?
200.
799 is as close as you're going to get. It was 700 cc's. David gets the point. Score check, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Two David, two Scotty, one Alum. Question five. What famous person drove a Messerschmitt?
Oh.
I don't know what that is.
Adolf Hitler is incorrect.
Now, Scotty, you commented that there was a Messerschmitt there.
Yeah, I saw it, but I didn't really read who was famous that drove it or anything.
Hopefully
our German
listeners. Hopefully we haven't lost our German listeners. Thanks to Alan. So, David and Scotty, you guys can have a guess, or you can pass.
All right, I'll have a guess.
Go.
Jay Leno
probably has driven one, but
probably not, has.
but what's the one I'm after?
Is it someone we know?
Yeah, you would. Oh, it's not that we would know personally, but would have heard the name before. Absolutely.
I don't know. Ringo Starr, one of the Beatles. Well,
Evel Knievel made it famous. Evel.
Oh, you told me that. I remember now. Damn it!
This is just a collusion project.
I remember you saying that. Yeah,
that's all it is.
Sorry, dude.
Don't call him the
shenanigans. Question six. The Subaru SVX had an engine size of what?
David. I think it was 3 liter.
Alan. Correct. Alan.
3.2 liter?
Incorrect.
No.
3.4?
It was 3.3.
Oh, yes, it was.
Bonus question. What was it known as in other markets?
Scott. It wasn't. God damn it.
You were thinking our cone, that was a vortex.
I was thinking cyclone, but I don't think it was that.
It wasn't cyclone.
Oh,
I'm thinking of something else.
Vortex isn't correct. David?
It wasn't the Al coin.
Ali coin, I'll take it. Yeah, it was. Yes.
Oh, well, you spell it.
Oh,
okay. Well, that's interesting because that's what the Vortex was known as overseas. So it was obviously seen as a new version of the Vortex.
Absolutely.
Wow, okay. I
never knew that. He's desperate for points. I love you. What's half a point?
Alcoyne or something, isn't it?
Correct. Yeah. Ali Cone or something. I don't know. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, so that's where I got Cyclone from.
Yeah.
Well, it was fair. Question seven. The Ford Cortina got its name from what?
David. Cortina's a town in the Italian Alps.
It was absolutely the Italian ski resort, Cortina di Ampezzo, which was the site of the 1956 Winter Olympics. Well done.
And do you know how I knew that? James Bond.
There you go.
James Bond.
Question eight. Score check, David 4, Scotty 2, Alan 1. We still got a few questions to go and some bonus questions. Question 8. The Fiat X19 began production in what decade?
Could you repeat the question?
The Fiat X19 began production in which decade?
David.
The 60s. Alan, it's not the 60s. Incorrect.
The 70s.
David is correct, and it was the 70s. Bonus question. After Fiat didn't sell it anymore, who sold it? David.
Bertone.
Bertone is absolutely correct. Well done. Question 9. If Honda boy doesn't get it over here, I don't know who will. The Honda Insight had an engine size of what?
David. It was known as a 1 litre. The petrol engine was 1 litre. Yep.
Correct. Well done.
990 for me.
Question 10. The Toyota Tarago began production in what year?
David. Production. It was released here in 83, so I'll go 83.
83 is spot on. Well done.
Wow.
David is just killing it right now. Scotty, cut out the part where I was like, score check and Scott, and you're winning. Just keep that so you can have that as your ringtone.
Just end the podcast earlier. End it after that. And that's
end it after that.
Yeah.
Bonus question. How did the Tarago get its name?
David. It's named after the town of Tarago, isn't it?
An Australian town called Tarago, yeah.
Oh.
There you go.
Because it was only known as Tarago here, I think.
It is, because it's known as a Star Wagon in
oh, it's a Steamer, a Previa in the markets.
Previa, yep. So it's known as a few different things. But the score check, Alan 1, Scotty 2, David on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
No one likes you at all. Sorry, guys. Now,
David Prince, well done. You get the chocolates this evening. Well done.
Thank you. It's only because Ed wasn't here.
he would have got the Tarago one.
He would have got the Tarago one.
Nah, he would have been a year off.
gentlemen, I think that's a podcast.
Well done.
Like and share our Facebook page. It's Car Talk, TORQE with Manny J. If you're missing any of our previous episodes, they're all up on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast, or wherever you're listening to it now. Check out our merch on our Teespring store. Go to teespring.com and type in and just type in Car Talk store. You'll find all our merch there. And become a patron to our Patreon. Support the show by becoming a patron. Go to patreon.com/Car Talk Podcast. Give Riz a plug, Mr. Alum.
If you're in the market to buy a new car and want to know what you should be paying, hit up our good friend Riz at Carloop Australia. So you can hit him up on Facebook, or you can just go www.carloop.com.au and get in touch with him.
Scotty Stitches, anyone you want to stitch on?
No, you're not driving the Merc, so.
And of course, if you want the best of automotive repairs for interiors, the Mr. David Prince, Thomas the Tank, we know him as, he's your man. Thank you, gentlemen, for a lovely show.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Alan. We could have done it without you, mate.
And we'll see you guys next time. Take it easy.
See ya.